Well, I'm delighted that we could join up our four churches and come together for this morning. Most people in Grace Church will know who I am, and I know at least some people in all of our four churches. I've been to East Beach Church in Selsey a number of times. Sadly, I've never had the pleasure of being with Billingshurst Family Church on a Sunday morning. I was planning to spend the morning with you guys in Cowfold, but that got all overtaken by lockdown, so you had the dubious pleasure of seeing me on screen, as indeed you are now. And this is the world we live in at the moment, isn't it? This is the church world that we live in, at least for the coming season. When everything in life was in lockdown, not meeting as a church was strange, but at least it was consistently strange across life. Now we are back to school, back to work, back in the shops, able to meet family, able to have a social life, and yet we are not able to meet as church in the way we would have been so familiar doing. And that makes it doubly hard. We're beginning to find some ways of meeting in certain settings, but a normal Sunday morning worship celebration does not seem to be possible right now. And I don't want to get into the merits or otherwise of government guidelines. I guess we all live with this tension, don't we, of wanting to submit to the restrictions that our government have placed on church life on the one hand, but at the same time having a bit of a heavy heart and a sense of loss and a sense of frustration, because church is a relational thing. We are meant to meet together. We are meant to share our lives together. Most of the letters that Paul wrote to the churches in the New Testament contain some sense of Paul saying, I really wish that I could be with you in person. I long to be with you. It was never a case of, well, yeah, I really can't be bothered to make the journey. Actually, it's not a good use of my time, so I won't get down there. What I'll do is I'll just send a letter, if that's okay. No, he never says that. Paul felt the physical pain of separation. He didn't want to be separated from people he loved and cared about. And that was certainly true for the church in Colossae. I just want to read some verses to you from Colossians. I'll start at the very beginning. Colossians 1, verse 1 onwards says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that's come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm just going to skip over some verses. I mean, it almost seems wrong to skip over such a wonderful description of Jesus that comes in the following verses. But let me jump down to chapter 2, verse 1, just a few verses there. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So it's quite possible that Paul had never actually been to Colossae. Even if he had, there was a significant proportion of the church that he had never met, and yet he carried a burden for them in his heart. That the last verse I read there, verse 5, chapter 2, that's what I felt God really laid on my heart for you this morning. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Even though Paul could readily acknowledge how frustrating it was not to be meeting in person, yet there was still a stronger, more fundamental bond that tied them together. He was absent in body, but in his spirit, he felt like he was right there with them. So much so that the thing he says that brings him most joy is what he can see going on there in Colossae. He's not there, but he can see like he is there. So as we move forward in our churches into this new term, in the majority of ways, still not meeting together in the way I want, the way we'd want to, I want us to know, I want you to know, that same strength of connection, that same depth of bond, so that you can say, yeah, our church meetings, yeah, they're mostly streamed on YouTube or Zoom at the moment, but at a deeper level, I know that I am connected. I feel it in my spirit. We are apart, but we're together. So the simple question I want to address as we look at these verses is, for each of our churches, how do we stay together even when we are apart? Well, firstly, and this is really practical, share news. It's been good to share a bit of news from our churches, isn't it, locally? The Colossians were encouraged to do that. Paul said, take this letter down the road to Laodicea and share it there as well. And they've got a letter as well, so make sure that you read their letter. These two churches and others in the region were in a family relationship together, and that's exactly what we are doing here this morning with our Commission Local. Surely sharing news with one another, it's got to be one of the most important characteristics of any family. But it is one that we can easily lose out of the church if we're not careful. Keep each other updated with what is going on. When me and Ali's my wife, when we get in at the end of the day, pretty much the first question is, how was your day? And that's just normal, isn't it? Sometimes there's big news to pass on. Sometimes it's just relaying a trivial little bit of news or a funny story. My two boys are grown up. They live elsewhere now. But if time passes, it's not long before I'm thinking, well, I wonder what's going on with them. I want to know the news. And then when they share it over the phone or on WhatsApp or whatever, even though I'm not there, I feel like I'm there. And we know that church is a family, but there are some pressures that work against us sharing news. For one thing, our culture presses us into a mold that is quite individualistic. We think, oh, this is me. This is my life. It's got nothing to do with you. I can't imagine that you would be remotely interested in what is going on with me, because frankly, I don't much care with what's going on with you. And then that can lead to another pressure, which is being, let me say, oversensitive about gossip. Let me put it that way. Now, gossip is a bad thing, right? Don't get me wrong. The Bible clearly condemns gossip as destructive, loose talk. But we are so programmed to avoid gossip in church life that we can get a bit jumpy, even at the very mention of another person's name in conversation. You think, oh, am I allowed to say this? Or am I allowed to even hear this? La, 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 la. And that's just not family. In family, you share news. So have you heard? Did you hear the news? Now, we need to examine our hearts, because gossip is revealed in the heart. If you're trying to boost your own credentials, make yourself look good, make yourself, you know, seem like the person in the know, then that's gossip. If you're trying to put another person down, cause them harm in some way, then that's gossip. You need to be ruthlessly honest with yourself. But if you are motivated by a love for the family of God and a desire to keep us all connected, let's be a family that shares news. Paul said, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for God's people. We thank God because we have heard. We got the news and now we're rejoicing. And it worked back the other way as well. Towards the end of the letter, Paul writes, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He says, I'm sending him to you for that very purpose. And Onesimus too. They will tell you everything. They were the news carriers. So I would just encourage us all, in the context of church family, let's be intentional, let's be proactive in sharing the news. Find a way to do that. Often it's not in the notices on a Sunday morning. Sometimes that's appropriate, but not always. More often it's just in conversation. Have you heard? This person's found a new job at last. This person's had a disappointment. This person's seen a real answer to prayer. We hear a lot about the dangers and evils of social media, and for good reason. But it can also serve us here. Stay connected. I mean, I would say, don't be one of those, well, I don't do social media. Well, I mean, yeah, there are dangers, but also it can serve us. It can keep us connected. So don't be a gossip. Don't get addicted to social media. Don't become a busybody. But also, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We need to build a family culture within our churches. And that is a culture in which we give and receive news. Secondly, you stay together in spirit by taking the news that you have heard and bringing it to God in prayer. Turn news into prayer. So in verse 9, Paul writes this. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, since we got the news, we have not stopped praying for you. It's vitally important in this present season in which we live, when we are restricted in how we can meet together in so many ways, that we are intentional and determined in the things that we can do. And one of those things that we can do is be praying for one another. So Paul says here, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. That word contending, it means struggling, wrestling, fighting. It's the same word that Paul used to Timothy when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. It was actually a Greek word that was used to describe the stadiums, or is it stadia, where the Olympic Games were held. These were impressive arenas of conquest where people were highly trained, and they gave it their all, often with great endurance. That's the word. But here is Paul. He sat in prison writing this letter in Rome. And he's writing to the church in Colossae. That's like hundreds of miles away in modern-day Turkey. It's a place that he'd never been. And yet he could say, I am contending for you. He wasn't standing up preaching to them. He wasn't holding lively debates in the market square. He wasn't going door to door. He wasn't even serving the poor. So what was he doing for them? Well, he was praying for them. And he invokes the image of this Olympic level conquest as he does so. He was praying hard. Don't underestimate the importance or the significance of prayer in this season in which we live. I've spoken to a number of people who've said to me, I used to know what my role was in church. I used to know what I did, but now I'm not so sure. I used to be on the welcome team. I used to serve in the kids' work. I used to lead meetings. And all that stopped for now, and while we're separate from one another. And we may find that those among us who are most vulnerable have to wait the longest before they can return to church activities safely. Even before lockdown, I had one or two of our older generation, people who had served within the church faithfully for decades, just say to me, oh, I'm so sorry, David, but I can't get out in the evenings like I used to. I can't get involved like I used to. I can pray, but that's all I can do. All you can do? I mean, all Paul could do, sat in prison, was pray for the Colossians. But he says, I'm contending for you. Make it your priority to pray for your church in this season. Pray for the health and the strength of your church. Because we have an enemy who would love to see the church fragment and drift away during lockdown. We need to take that fight to the enemy by contending for the church in prayer. Pray for your leaders that they would plot a course of faith through these unfamiliar times. When you hear some news about individuals in the church or people just come to your mind, take that to your Father in heaven in prayer. Celebrate with them. Add your prayers to their prayers, whatever that situation is. Don't just reply with a prayer emoji or tell someone you'll pray and then forget all about it. If you haven't struggled, if you haven't contended with the forces of evil, even as you set your gaze on your Almighty Father in heaven, then you have not prayed. Be like an endurance runner in the Olympic stadium, running along the track, and he can feel his opponent coming up behind him. But he says, no, I'm not going to let you get ahead. I'm going to stay ahead. Starting to get a bit tired, but I can see the finish line. I'm still going. Absent in body, but together in spirit. We must be a praying people. It means know what it is to contend for one another in prayer. And then thirdly, as you pray, pray that you and others in your church family would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul prayed for the Colossians more than anything else. He says in verse 9, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So he was praying that they would be filled with knowledge and wisdom. But at the same time, he acknowledges that this is knowledge and wisdom that can only come from the Holy Spirit. So in short, he's praying that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and that knowledge and wisdom and understanding would come as a result. Paul felt that he was together in spirit with that church because of the abundant work of the Holy Spirit there and the fact that the Spirit that was at work in them was the same Spirit that was at work in him. See, same Spirit. It put them on the same page. in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which actually he wrote at pretty much the same time. He probably had both letters kind of in his head at once. And he says there in Ephesians in chapter 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there's one body, there's one Spirit. And he goes on to say, one Lord and one faith, one baptism. So the church is the one body of Christ, but it's the life of the one Holy Spirit flowing through us that gives us life together. This whole lockdown season has made us carefully consider what it really means to be church. And when I considered that for myself, I was amazed how much, for me, my perception of church was determined by my diary. I found that I would jump from one event to the next through church life, a bit like playing hopscotch through the week. I'd go from kind of this Sunday, it's like, right, then I've got a prayer meeting, and then I've got another meeting later on, and then perhaps I turn around, and then on the next Sunday I've got two meetings, and then after that there's another meeting after that, and that's how I'd go on. And then lockdown happened, and I went to one event, and then suddenly, well, there's nothing to jump to. It's like, well, what's next? And even more dangerous is if your relationship with God is determined solely by the church routine, by your diary. If the thing that keeps you thinking like a Christian and living like a Christian is the metronome of church life. These past 6 months have stripped away a lot of our routine, a lot of our normal practice. Dare I say it, a lot of our religion. And for some people, sadly, that was all they had. And as a result, there's been a steady decline in the brightness of their faith, a drifting into worldly thinking. Some have even forgotten that encountering God through a living faith was actually a part of their life. That's what they lived for. Don't be that person. If ever there was a time that mere religion would be exposed as being entirely unable to sustain a living faith, it is now. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no alternative. I've been in churches in Romania that met in damp basements for fear that the authorities would find out what they were doing and take them all to prison. I've been in churches in India that were so remote from anywhere else that people walked for 10 hours to get there. Now, do you think all these people gathered because, well, it's what we did last week. It's what we did the week before. It's just what I do. No, they had a passionate love for God and for his people that came from the Holy Spirit dwelling in them and lighting a fire within them. It was the Holy Spirit that compelled them to live for him. Religion doesn't do that. A dynamic relationship with the Father by his Spirit does. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is God's gift to you, his promise to you, purely as an act of his grace. Don't forget to come to him daily before you set about doing whatever it is you do, and ask him to fill you with his Spirit for that day. And then walk with God throughout your day. That's what the Spirit enables you to do. And then when you come to the decision points, when you come to those moments of challenge in that day, I wasn't expecting that. When you come to moments of threat or moments of weariness, you feel, I can't go on from here. Then you know that the Holy Spirit is with you. And he'll lead you and guide you and protect you and strengthen you in that moment. Let's be a people of the Spirit. And then finally, as the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and throughout your church, be in faith. Let's believe that you will begin to see the fruit. Within Grace Church at the moment, I'm sure it's the same in your church, if that's not Grace Church. We are keeping a close eye on the government guidelines on what churches are allowed to do and not allowed to do, where we can meet, how we can meet, what sort of events, all of that. We want to submit to our government and get it right. We also want to be true to our values and what makes us who we are and maximize what we are doing as a church together. And at the same time, we want to be proclaiming Jesus to our communities. We want to be on mission. We want to be making followers of Jesus. And we just need wisdom to know how to do that. Because you look at what's going on in the world around us, you think, God, what are you doing? It's amazing. There's never been a time like this. The whole world has been shaken. Our whole nation has been shaken. And I'm intrigued. I'm excited, actually, to see what plan God is working out. And then the next thought I have is, what should we be doing in our church to maximize this opportunity? What should we be doing to reach out to people? What should we be doing to care for the vulnerable? What should we be doing? So many questions, and I can start to feel a bit anxious. Praise God, there is a knowledge of his will. There is a wisdom and an understanding that the Spirit brings. So please be praying for your church leaders and ministry leaders and group leaders, that they would be men and women who are filled with the Spirit and therefore have that knowledge of God's will that the Spirit brings. And if that is our starting point, then I am confident that our churches will emerge from this crazy season stronger, larger, better reflecting the glory of Jesus than we were at the beginning. Where the Spirit of God is at work, there is fruit for God's kingdom. There just is. That's why there's nothing better for us to pray for. You don't have to make the fruit come. It's what the Spirit does. The fruit of the Spirit is... Well, if you've been around a bit, you probably started quoting Galatians there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But what is that stuff? That stuff, the fruit of the Spirit, is people's lives that are transformed to be like God in all of his wonderful goodness. So in the words of Colossians here in verse 10, Paul prays that they will be filled with what the Spirit gives so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, having endurance, patience, and joy. That sounds to me like the kind of life that I would want to have. Sounds amazing. Do you think that by not being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with him, that you can somehow better the life that is described there? In this season that we live in, people throughout your community are asking questions about life that they never asked before. People need care and support like they never did before. People are reaching out for friendship like they never did before. I've had more proper conversations with people living in my road in the last 6 months than I had in the 10 years preceding that. So what opportunities is God going to present you to bear fruit as you do good work? Whatever situation it is, when you spot that opportunity, say, there's something I can do here to put a smile on God's face, something that pleases him in every way. It was this standing strong in faith, taking hold of every opportunity to bear fruit for God's kingdom. It was this that made Paul feel like he was together with the Colossians in spirit, even though he was physically apart. Even if your church is not meeting together physically, you are together in spirit because you are all caught up on the same mission as one another, because it's the mission of Jesus. It's to proclaim the gospel. It's your mission. It's my mission, because we're both in Jesus. Paul said, I'm absent from you in body, present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. That word disciplined, it's a military word. It's sort of from the army. Maybe as Paul was writing this letter from his prison cell in Rome, he could look out through the bars and he could see the Roman soldiers lining up on the parade ground in perfect ranks. See, that's what this word means, disciplined, sort of lined up in ranks. And that's what Paul saw in his mind's eye when he thought about the Colossians. That's what he could see. Every person, shoulder to shoulder, confident in their faith, emboldened in the tasks that they had been given to do, because they knew that they were not alone. Able to stand firm whenever they came under attack, because they were this unit together, and that's how they went forward into battle. Look for ways over these coming weeks to stand shoulder to shoulder with your church. Be on mission together. Be encouraging one another, praying for one another, helping out when you can. I'm looking for ways in Grace Church that we can be reaching out to our community together. We ran an alpha course via Zoom before the summer, and you guys down at East Beach Church in Selsey joined us for that, which was great. It was something of an experiment, but it seemed to work remarkably well, I thought, and people seemed to really engage with that. We're going to go for that again this coming term. Such an excellent way of opening up a conversation about Jesus, particularly with people who are looking into our churches at this time. And maybe there's other things that you can do as a church together. But even if you can't meet together and join together for some event or course or program, know that you are still together in spirit whenever and wherever you show God's love to someone, or where you tell someone about Jesus. And it might be just you on your own in that moment, talking to a work colleague or helping out a neighbor. But it is not just you. That's the point. The whole family of God are right behind you, rooting for you. We're in this together. In that tiny moment, you are part of something much bigger, something you've agreed on. We're all caught up in the mission of Jesus. This is just my tiny part, but this is something much bigger. And so the only remaining thing to do then is to tell people about it. Where you have stepped out in faith and seen God come through. Where you have shown God's love and seen barriers come down as a result. Where you've seen someone respond to the gospel, just the first embers of new faith. You see, this is news. This is news that is worth sharing. And so you see how the cycle is repeated. This cycle of faith that kept Paul connected with the church, even though he was not physically present. They shared news together. That fueled their prayer. In particular, they prayed that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Spirit at work resulted in faith to step out for him, expectant to see that fruit would come as lives are transformed by the gospel. Every faith step, every success, every disappointment as well, that became news, a news item to share. And that then fueled their prayer. And so it went on. In no way did Paul prefer being apart physically to being physically present with the church. But even when apart, this cycle of faith made him present there in spirit. And this is a challenging season for us in which to do church. There's never been a time like it. So much is new. So much is uncertain. But be in no doubt that what joins us together is so much stronger than what keeps us apart. The Church of Jesus is in rude health. And you have a vital part to play. More now in this season than ever before. So I just want to pray. I want to pray for our churches. I want to pray for you as well. Just pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for your gift of salvation. We thank you that you came, Jesus. You died for us. You paid for our sin. Because in the eternal plan and purposes of God, you saw a people gathered to you, gathered to your name, made righteous in Jesus for the eternal praise and worship of you. Lord, we thank you that you have caught us up into that plan. We thank you, O God, that we can be part of you, part of your body, part of your church. And we just recognize right now our need to know you in our lives more than ever. Just the challenges that this season brings. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us afresh? Lord, we've had so much of our routine and religion stripped away, but you are faithful and your promises hold true. So even now, I just pray that wherever people are, wherever people are listening to me right now, they might just open up their heart right now and you just come, Holy Spirit, and meet every individual. May encounter you right now. I pray, oh God, that as you work in and through people's lives, Lord, there would be transformation that would come in our lives, in the lives of everybody we encounter. Lord, would you bear fruit, Lord, through our lives? So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you, Father God. I just particularly want to pray for any who are lonely, isolated, particularly struggling with the frustration of this season of church not meeting and maybe other parts of life being uprooted as well. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would be near. Lord, that you would comfort the lonely, comfort the downhearted. I pray that you would just minister your grace and your love and your wonderful joy and encouragement to those who just particularly need to know that right now. May they just know their spirit lifting, even as you work in their lives right now. Thank you, Father God, for what you are doing among us. Lord, we look with great excitement and anticipation at the coming season. We say, oh God, build your church, Lord, right across our four churches here in this region. Lord, would you build a church, Lord, that brings you so much glory as you work in people's lives. Thank you, Father God. Amen.